Sai's Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m. Om Shri Sai Ram. Sai Ram to all our listeners. Thank you for joining us on this beautiful Thursday morning, January the 10th, 2013. You are tuned to Morning Glory on Thursday Live, coming to you from Prashanti Nilayam, the spiritual capital of the universe. My name is Karuna, and along with audio engineer Yatharta, I offer my loving salutations at the lotus feet of our dearest Lord Sai. The time right now in our studios is 9:38 a.m. and you are listening to Asia Stream on Radio Sai. Let us begin Morning Glory with the prayer for the well-being of all life forms in all the worlds. Samasta loka sukhino bhavantu. Yes, dear Lord, we pray that all the beings in all the worlds be happy. Let there be harmony, peace and love among families, at workplaces, among nations and across all inhabitants of our planet. Let the galaxies spin in harmony. Let divine love flow through each of our hearts to fill the universe with positive, happy vibes. To maintain the happiness quotient, today on Morning Glory, coming up, a tete-a-tete with a delightful 12-year-old Deep Raj Rai from Sikkim. Deep Raj Rai is a student of the Sai Gurukul in Gangtok, Sikkim. He shot into limelight a few months ago when he auditioned for a television show called India's Got Talent. There, Deep Raj sang a popular Prashanti Nilayam bhajan, and guess what? The judges just loved his rendition of the bhajan that Bhagwan would often have the singers in the ashram sing with a long, soulful alap. Deep Raj too sang the song, the famous bhajan, Sri Raghavam, with the opening mantra, and despite competing against well-trained artists, Deep Raj ended up as a finalist on India's Got Talent. And on December 28, 2012, Deep Raj was part of the troupe from Sikkim that offered their music in the Divine Presence before the Mahasamadhi in Prashanti Nilayam. The very next day, I sat down for a chat with Deep Raj, who came across as a model child, wise beyond his 12 years. I will bring you that interview in just a few moments, and this one is truly a must listen. Deep Raj now has just one prayer. He wants to get accepted in grade 8 in Swami's school here in Prashanti Nilayam. Speaking of Swami's schools and colleges, dear listeners, tomorrow is the big day that students here from grade 1 to PhD levels look forward to. Starting early tomorrow morning, all roads in this part of the world will lead to the Sri Satyasai Hillview Stadium for the annual sports and cultural meet of the various Sai schools, the four campuses of the Sai University, the nursing college attached to the Sai Super Speciality Hospital in Whitefield, Bangalore. Apart from this offering of their love, creativity and skill to their beloved chancellor by the students from 5 to 25 years of age, there are so many more reasons that attract the brightest, the most talented students from everywhere to Swami's schools and university. No wonder then that the musical prodigy from Sikkim, Deep Raj's ultimate dream is also to be part of this blessed group. After the interview with Deep Raj, we have lined up a brand new episode of Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories for you. My colleague, Brother Bishop Prushti, interviewed Mr. Srikant Vaidyanathan of the USA. Srikant is a product of the Sai Schools and University, and we will bring you that interview at the latter half of the show today. But let me first give you an update on the weather in Prashanti Nilayam. Last few days, Mr. Golden Sun seems to be warming up. Afternoons are warm but breezy with clear skies. Mornings and evenings are fairly pleasant, and it's still a teeny tiny bit nippy at night time. So brothers and sisters, if there is one place on the face of planet Earth that oozes serenity, feels so safe, clean, comfortable, where a mother awaits us with open arms, basically a place where the mind is at ease and the heart is at home, it is the paradise called Prashanti Nilayam that Bhagwan Baba has created for all of us. Walking into the ashram every single day feels like we are coming home for a deep spiritual recharge. Once we sit in the Sai Kulwant Hall and the Vedam begins, the mind starts to calm down. And then the heavenly music sets in, and by the time bhajans are done, the heart feels light and joyful. Approaching the sacred Mahasamadhi is like having a face-to-face with the cosmic Sai. When one places the forehead on the cool marble of the sacred Mahasamadhi, the divine energy just seeps in. As a matter of fact, 12-year-old Deepraj Rai also experienced a spiritual high when he sang in the divine presence, and he explained the experience very sweetly. I'm happy to bring you that conversation now. Om Shri Sai Ram. Sai Ram, dear listeners, it's a great pleasure that today we have a star with us, a young budding star, rising star, should I say, in the studio. His name is Master Deepraj Rai. Deepraj Rai is 12 years old and he sang mellifluously yesterday, that is on December the 28th, 2012, in the Sai Kulwant Hall, and his singing left the audience, the listeners, mesmerized because there was so much of perfection in his voice and feeling and depth and emotion. And in some ways, Deepraj Rai is a national celebrity and an international celebrity now. He is the mascot for the Sai family because he represented all of us so beautifully at a contest called India's Got Talent, which was televised all over India and around the world. And in the first round, in that, when he got selected, he sang a beautiful Prashanti Nilayam bhajan, Sri Raghavam. So I'd like to take a moment and welcome Deepraj Rai to Radio Sai. Sai Ram Deepraj, and welcome to Radio Sai.
Thank you.
And he's accompanied here by his mother, Mrs. Bindu Rai, who's also visiting us from Gangtok, Sikkim, and the state president of the Sri Satya Sai Seva Organization of Sikkim, Brother Ratan Kumar Pradhan. The state president, Mr. Pradhan, has been keenly involved in the progress of Deepraj and is a great well-wisher of the young boy. And we also have the pleasure of welcoming Mr. and Mrs. Pradhan from the Sai Gurukul in Gangtok, Sikkim. Mrs. Nirmala Pradhan is the founding principal of the Sai Gurukul, and she has a hand in the grooming that he has received at a young age. So welcome to all of you, Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Thank you very much.
Deepraj, kal sham ko aapne Sai Kulwant Hall mein itna achha bhajan gaya. Kaisa lag raha tha aapko Mahasamadhi ke aage bhajan gaate hue?
Ye mera ek sapna tha jo swami ke aage gaane ka. वो मुझे कल महसूस हुआ और मुझे कल इतना अच्छा लगा कि मैं कुछ बोल नहीं सकता है, बस स्पीचलेस.
बट यू वर नॉट सॉन्गलेस, आपने गाना तो बहुत अच्छा गाया. हमारे रेडियो साई के लिसनर्स को बताइए आपने कौन कौन से गाने कल गाए.
मैंने कल केसरिया बालम गाया था, श्री रघुनंदना गाया था और साई के दरबार में गाया था.
अच्छा, श्री रघुनंदन का थोड़ा सा आलाप सुना के बताइए, क्योंकि ये वही गाना है जिसको आपने पहली दफा इंडियाज गॉट टैलेंट में गाया और वहां जो तीन जजेस थे, करण जौहर, मिसेस किरण खेर और मलाइका अरोरा खान, उन लोगों को इतना पसंद आया कि वो आपकी तारीफ करके नहीं थक रहे थे. थोड़ा सा सुनाएंगे आप?
जी बिल्कुल,
गाइए.
श्री राघवम दशरथात्मज अप्रमेयम् सीतापतिम् रघुकुलात्म रत्नदीपम् आजानुबाहम् अरविन्द दडायताक्षम् रामम् निसाचर विनाशकरम् नमामि नमामि नमामि. थैंक यू.
वेरी नाइस, वेरी सोलफुल. Dear listeners, we are talking to Deepraj Rai, a 12-year-old singer from Gangtok, Sikkim. और मैं आपको ये भी बताना चाहती हूँ कि दीपराज राय ने इंडियाज गॉट टैलेंट में सबसे पहले यही गाना गाया था इस आलाप के साथ, और इसके बाद भजन गाया था. तो आप बताइए आपने ये गाना क्यों चुना? Was there a reason that you decided to pick this particular bhajan to sing at India's Got Talent?
मेरा जो एक सपना था और आपको मैंने पहले ही बताया और मैं स्वामी का बहुत बड़ा भक्त हूँ.
अच्छा, मैं आप 12 साल के हो, आप बहुत बड़े भक्त हो, छोटे से हो.
और मैं स्वामी को बहुत मानता हूँ क्योंकि मेरे ऐसे भी जो मोमेंट्स थे जब स्वामी ने मुझे हेल्प किया.
अच्छा,
और मुझे इसीलिए मुझे एक सोच आया कि मैं स्वामी का भजन फर्स्ट में गाऊं.
अच्छा, आप मुझे बताइए, आप कह रहे हो आप बाबा के इतने बड़े भक्त हो, स्वामी ने आपको बहुत समय मदद की, आपकी सहायता की, क्या हुआ था?
जब भी मैं कभी गा रहा था तो बहुत मेरे गले पे थोड़ा सा बैठ गया था, तभी मैंने स्वामी को प्रे किया, स्वामी प्लीज सिंग थ्रू मी, और उन्होंने मुझको बहुत हेल्प किया.
अच्छा, और जब आप इंडियाज गॉट टैलेंट में नहीं गए थे, प्रायर टू योर ज्वाइनिंग दैट कॉम्पिटिशन, हाउ डिड यू डिवेलप सच फेथ इन स्वामी? डिड समथिंग हैपन दैट टोल्ड यू दैट यू नो यू रियली कुड डिपेंड ऑन स्वामी फॉर हेल्प एंड यू वॉन्टेड टू पिक हिज भजन फॉर द फर्स्ट राउंड?
या इट वॉज माई स्कूल, मेरे स्कूल
विच इज द साई गुरु को.
जी, जो साई गुरु के लिए मेरे सब भजन है जो रोज हमारे स्कूल में भजन होता है, तो मैं मेरे स्कूल से भी मुझको बहुत प्रेरणा मिलता है, तो मेरा फर्स्ट क्रेडिट मेरे स्कूल को जाता है.
अच्छा, आपको वहाँ गाना कौन सिखाता है? सो दीप राज इज टेलिंग अस दैट द क्रेडिट फॉर हिज टैलेंट फर्स्ट गोज टू हिज स्कूल विच इज द साई गुरुकुल इन गैंगटॉक सिक्किम. सो हु टीचेस यू म्यूजिक देयर?
आवर स्कूल ओनली टीचर्स मी.
यू हैव अ म्यूजिक सर और अ म्यूजिक मैम?
व्हाट्स
हिज हर नेम?
गीता शर्मा. एंड नो बट all our teachers, they all teaches us
singing
bhajan, but they are the main who teaches us.
Very nice. So I'll pose this question to the state president of Sikkim, Sri Satya Sai Seva organization there. Sir, please tell our listeners, jab aapko pehli baar pata chala ki isne itna acha gaya, aapko kab pata chala ye contest mein gaya tha?
I have heard it earlier, but actually I missed the program.
Okay.
On the TV that day.
Okay.
But later on, All India President and one of the devotee from Orissa, he just sent me through a mail.
Uh-huh.
I got to see his program in a mail. And that time, I was really amazed of his talents. But actually, we know him since his tender age. क्योंकि हेज अ बालबिका शिष्य ऑल्सो.
ओके,
तो जब भी प्रोग्राम कहीं हमारे मंदिर वगैरह छोटा मंदिर है वहां समिति के मंदिर में है, वी यूज टू कॉल हिम लाइक इन रामनवमी जन्माष्टमी, उस टाइम में भी ही यूज टू सिंग.
चलो,
यही भजन जो भी अच्छे है, हेज अ टोटली डेडिकेट टू स्वामी. और जितना भी हम वो इनको हम बताते हैं कि जस्ट कभी डिनाई नहीं करते,
हमेशा तैयार रहते हैं भगवान.
एवरी टाइम ही
इज एवर रेडी टू सिंग फॉर स्वामी. सो हैव यू बीन अ बाल विकास स्टूडेंट? आपने बाल विकास अटेंड किया बचपन से?
जी.
मजा आता है बाल विकास में?
जी.
यू एंजॉय इट अ लॉट? हां. ओके, वी आर वेरी प्लीज टू हैव मिसेस बिंदु राय हियर विद अस. बिंदु राय इज द मदर ऑफ मास्टर दीप राज राय. साईराम बिंदु जी, वुड यू लाइक टू टेल आवर लिसनर्स, वाज ही म्यूजिकली टैलेंटेड फ्रॉम हिज चाइल्डहुड और डिड यू सेंड हिम फॉर एनी पर्टिकुलर ट्रेनिंग? कि ये बचपन से इतने टैलेंटेड थे, इनको संगीत की रुचि थी, या क्या आपने इन्हें कोई खास क्लासेस में भेजा?
हामीले त्यो क्लासहरू त कहीँ लगाएको छैन हो. अन्त अब जति पनि उसले सिक्यो स्कुलबाटै सिकेको छ, स्कुलबाटै टिचरहरूले सबैले अब सानैदेखि नै गाइड गरेर अब अहिले यतिको भएको छ.
There is no formal training as such, but what he learned, he picked up on his own, mainly self-taught.
अच्छा, आप लोग बहुत पहले से साई डिवोटीज हैं, आप बाबा को कब से मानते हैं? Is yours a family of साई डिवोटीज from long?
जब नानी अब साई गुरुकुलमा पढ्न थाल्यो, म्याम अब स्कूलमा, साई गुरुकुल स्कूलमा, त्यहाँदेखि मात्रै अब हामीले चाहिँ क्या अब स्वामीलाई चाहिँ मान्न थालेको.
From when he got admitted to the Sai Gurukul school, since then only there was a faith in Swami. Till then, it is not.
That is a huge compliment for the Sai school. इससे तो हमें लगता है भगवान के एक स्कूल से कितने लोगों के जीवन पे प्रभाव आ सकता है. So we just heard from Deepraj's mother how the school, the Sai Gurukul in Gangtok, Sikkim, was instrumental in introducing Deepraj or helping him to discover his talent. Obviously, the talent was latent within him, and then honing that skill. So it's a great pleasure to have the founding principal of the Sai Gurukul, Mrs. Nirmala Pradhan, with us. Saira, madam, and welcome to Radio Sai.
Saira, thank you very much, ma'am.
मैडम आप बताइए, इनकी माताजी ने हमें अभी बताया कि जब से दीपराज आपके स्कूल में आए तभी से उनको स्वामी में श्रद्धा उनके दिल में पैदा हुई और उनको संगीत में भी रुचि हुई उसी के बाद। तो आपके स्कूल में आप ऐसा क्या करते हैं जो कि बच्चों पे इतना अच्छा असर पड़ता है?
एक्चुअली वी होल्ड अ भजन सेशन एवरी डे।
अच्छा,
स्पेशली इन द मॉर्निंग एंड इन द school assembly also, especially in the morning school assembly, children, they do sing bhajans.
Mm-hmm.
And the child, he is himself gifted, God gifted.
I see.
He is very disciplined, very obedient and very talented, ma'am.
Wonderful.
Yes.
That is good to know. And you provide an environment of musical learning and talent and creativity?
Naturally. School has to.
Mm-hmm. And I guess because you have a values program in place, the children are obedient and...
Yes, yes. We integrate values into teaching various subjects. Value-based education we impart.
It's so good to know that this is happening in Sikkim. Thank you for sharing
Thank
that with
you.
Us.
Sorry.
Thank you, Sarah. दीपराज आप हमें बताइए, आपने कौन कौन से जो भी गाने गाए कैसे चुने? आपने एक बहुत अच्छा गाना गाया था मूवी का आस पास है खुदा, वो थर्ड राउंड में आपने इंडियाज गॉट टैलेंट में गाया था।
जी।
आपने किस बेसिस पे केसरिया बालमवा या मितवा किस बेस पे चुना थे गाने?
एक्चुअली आई एम नॉट अ ट्रेंड सिंगर सो मुझे पता नहीं है।
अच्छा, तो किसने, पापा ने डिसाइड किया?
नहीं, हमारे उधर टीचर होते हैं म्यूजिक टीचर, सो उन्होंने सजेस्ट किया कि ये गाओ।
अच्छा, इंडियाज गॉट टैलेंट में म्यूजिक टीचर थे। ओके, सो वी जस्ट हर्ड फ्रॉम दीपराज दैट द चॉइस ऑफ सॉन्ग्स दैट ही पुट टुगेदर फॉर सब्सिक्वेंट टू हिज फर्स्ट भजन सिंगिंग वर सॉर्ट ऑफ सजेस्टेड बाय द म्यूजिक टीचर एट इंडियाज गॉट टैलेंट। और आपने कल वही गाने यहां भी गाए थे?
नहीं।
यहां कौन कौन से गाने?
केसरिया बालम।
वो थोड़ा सा एक लाइन सुनाएंगे।
पधारो धारो मारे देश केसरिया बालम आवोनी पधारो मारे देश पधारो मारे देश रे केसरिया बालम आवोनी पधारो मारे देश। थैंक यू।
बहुत अच्छा गाया। आप जब ये गाना गाते हो तो आपके दिमाग में क्या चल रहा होता है? बस मेरी आवाज ठीक निकली या कुछ और भी?
जी,
आवाज पे कॉन्सेंट्रेट करके। ओके, क्योंकि केसरिया तो वो रंग है जो भगवान बाबा भी पहनते थे ना, ऑरेंज, आप समझते हो ना। हम सबके लिए तो ऐसा लगा भगवान को बुला रहे हो। सो टेल मी, व्हाट वाज द डिफरेंस, हाउ डिड यू फील डिफरेंट व्हेन यू सैंग इन फ्रंट ऑफ द महासमाधि एज कम्पेयर टू व्हेन यू सैंग फॉर द जजेस एट इंडियाज गॉट टैलेंट?
मुझे अपने भक्ति अपना भक्ति और स्वामी को बहुत मानता हूँ, क्योंकि स्वामी के आगे गाना, एक भगवान के आगे गाना भक्त के लिए इससे बड़ा फर्क कुछ हो नहीं सकता। तो उधर भी बहुत अच्छा लगा, पर इधर स्वामी के पास, इतने पास जाके गाया तो मुझे बहुत आनंद आया।
बहुत आनंद आया महासमाधि के आगे।
जी।
अगर बाबा वहां बैठे होते, मान लो महासमाधि से पहले आपने गाया होता, वहां बाबा कुर्सी पे बैठे होते, वो आपको एकदम सामने बुलाते और कहते मांगो, क्या चाहते हो, क्या बोलते आप, क्या मांगते आप?
मैं तो स्वामी को ही मांगता।
What would you say exactly to him? Just for the sake of our listeners, I asked Dipraj if Baba was sitting in the chair right there and he called him up and after his performance and asked him, what do you want? And he says he would ask for Swami, but exactly what would you say?
Swami, I just wanted you in my every field, in my every life.
Mm-hmm. Why do you love him so much?
Because he is my spiritual inspiration.
Oh, he is your spiritual inspiration. हिंदी में बता के हमारे हिंदी लिसनर्स के लिए बताइए, इतना क्यों आप भगवान को मानते हो, बाबा आपके लिए इतने महत्वपूर्ण क्यों हैं?
क्योंकि वो मेरे लिए एक इंस्पिरेशन बन चुके, मैं जब भी गाना गाता हूँ मैं उनको याद करके गाता हूँ. कोई भी सॉन्ग हो कोई भी भजन हो मैं बस उनको याद करके गाता हूँ.
अच्छा एक बात बताइए, जब आपको मैंने पहली बार टीवी पे गाते हुए देखा मैंने नोटिस किया आपने बाबा जी का ब्रोच लगाया था आपके कोट पे और कैमरा मैन ने एकदम से जूम इन किया और बाबा की हम सबको स्वामी का दर्शन आपके कोट पे मिल गया. वो किसका आइडिया था? हु गेव यू द आइडिया टू वेयर अ सत्य साई बाबा ब्रोच ऑन योर लपेल ऑफ द जैकेट?
मैंने खुद ही वो पहना है क्योंकि मैं जहां भी जाता हूँ अपने ब्रोच और मेरे स्वामी को वहां ले जाता हूँ. मैं ऐसा फील कर रहा था कि स्वामी मेरे साथ है और स्वामी मेरे भजन को सुन रहे हैं.
ब्यूटिफुल. सो इट वॉज योर डिसीजन बिकॉज यू वॉन्टेड टू फील हिज प्रेजेंस विद यू. दैट सो लवली टू नो फॉर अ यंग पर्सन लाइक यू टू हैव सो मच फेथ एंड कॉन्फिडेंस. डिड एनी ऑफ द जजेस आस्क यू अबाउट द ब्रोच?
किरण मैम शी जस्ट आस्क्ड वो क्यों आपने पहना है. सो मैंने कहा कि ही इज माई स्पिरिचुअल इंस्पिरेशन एज ही इज माई गॉड ऑल्सो सो आई वेयर दिस.
And what did she say?
उन्होंने बोला ये ब्रोच सत्य साई बाबा का है. तो मैंने बोला जी आपने ये क्यों पहना है वो बोल रही थी. तो मैंने बोला क्योंकि ये मेरे भगवान इज माई गॉड एंड इज माई स्पिरिचुअल इंफ्लुएंसर.
नाइस. ओके एंड डिड एनीबडी आस्क यू वेयर दैट भजन वॉज फ्रॉम? डिड एनी ऑफ देम नो दिस वॉज फ्रॉम प्रशांति निलयन?
नो
दैट डिडंट कम अप इन द कन्वर्सेशन. Okay. Deepraj, you're a 12-year-old suddenly in the spotlight. How does it feel? अचानक अभी तक तो आप एक स्टूडेंट थे और अपने समिति में भजन गाते थे, अचानक आपको इतने लोग जानने लगे, अच्छा लगता है?
बहुत अच्छा लगता है. मैं जो हूँ इधर जैसा भी हूँ जिन हालत में हूँ सब स्वामी ने किया है. ये स्वामी का कृपा है और मेरे स्कूल का भी बहुत बड़ा हाथ है और मेरे सिक्किम गवर्नमेंट का और उधर के सब जनता का होल इंडिया का बहुत बड़ा थे.
आप तो एकदम नेता की तरह बोल रखे हो आप. मगर बिफोर यू शॉट इन टू लाइम लाइट एंड पीपल गॉट टू नो यू, प्रायर टू दैट यू वर अ स्कूल स्टूडेंट, अ ग्रेड 7 स्टूडेंट दैट यू स्टिल आर. व्हाट डू यू लाइक डूइंग व्हेन यू आर फ्री, व्हेन यू आर नॉट सिंगिंग एंड बीइंग अ स्टार ऑन टीवी? व्हाट इज इट यू लाइक डूइंग एट दैट टाइम?
I was just rehearsing and practicing.
Oh my god. Oh my god, you're so disciplined, you're practicing. So when you're not practicing, do you like sports?
Yeah, I like sport.
Which is your favorite?
Table tennis.
Table tennis? Oh, very good. And what's your favorite food?
So there is our special food there in Sikkim. So it's called momo.
Oh, momo?
Yeah.
वो हमारे पुट्टपर्ती में भी मोमोज बहुत मिलते हैं.
There is special one.
Okay, आपको सिक्किम के मोमो दीपराज को सबसे ज्यादा पसंद है?
जी.
अच्छा, वेरी गुड. वैसे बाय द वे आपको ये जान के बहुत खुशी होगी हमारे पुट्टपर्ती में बहुत अच्छा मोमो मिलते हैं बहुत सारी जगहों से. और प्रधान सर से बात करते हुए पता चला कि आप इच्छुक हैं बाबा के स्कूल में पढ़ने के लिए?
जी, मेरा एक सपना है बाबा के स्कूल में पढ़ने का.
क्यों?
क्योंकि इधर सबको डिसिप्लिन में रखते हैं तो इधर प्रैक्टिस भी करते हैं. तो मेरा जो गाना है मैं इसको और निखारना चाहता हूँ क्योंकि जब भी कोई फिर से कॉम्पिटिशन होंगे तो मैं उसमें भी पार्टिसिपेट करूंगा जैसे सारेगामापा, इंडियन आइडल.
जी,
इसे में बहुत जाने का इच्छा है फिर भी.
सो दीपराज इज फॉन्ड ऑफ द डिसिप्लिन इन द साई स्कूल, दैट्स व्हाई ही इज एस्पायरिंग टू गेट अ सीट इन बाबा स्कूल, राइट? बिकॉज यू एंजॉय डिसिप्लिन. वेरी अनयूजल फॉर अ 12-year-old बॉय टू बी सो फॉन्ड ऑफ डिसिप्लिन. बट यू वॉन्ट टू होन योर म्यूजिकल टैलेंट. बट देन आपको अगर संगीत में इतनी रुचि है और अगर आप संगीत और स्वर को सजाना चाहते हैं वो तो आप किसी म्यूजिक स्कूल में भी जाके कर सकते हैं, बाबा के स्कूल में क्यों पढ़ना चाहेंगे?
क्योंकि इधर सबको अच्छा अच्छा सिखाते हैं, इधर अच्छे रास्ते में भी ले जाते हैं तो मैं इधर ही पढ़ना चाहता हूँ.
यू वॉन्ट टू से दैट इन इंग्लिश फॉर आर लिसनर्स? इट्स क्वाइट इंटरेस्टिंग टू नो अ 12-year-old से दैट.
Okay. In here, in Baba's school,
yeah,
everybody is going in good path. So I just also wanted to go to good path. If not here, so I couldn't be such disciplined. So it's the miracle of Baba. So if I got chance in here, in Sai Baba's school.
Okay, so have you been praying for admission now?
Yeah, I'm praying a lot.
Good. Sing and pray. Maybe it'll move Baba's heart more. He likes music. So, Deepraj, that's very nice to know that you're drawn to Swami's school because of the good path, the good teachings of Baba and the discipline here. That's excellent to know. Now, when you grow up, what is it you want to be?
I just wanted to be playback singer.
Oh.
If my Swami's with me, then he'll take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to be playback singer when I grew up.
Okay. So अगर आप बड़े होकर एक playback singer बनना चाहते हो और आप कहते हो कि अगर बाबा आपके साथ होंगे तो आप बन सकते हो, आप मुझे एक बात बताओ, कभी बाबा का दर्शन आपने कभी किया है जब बाबा की महासमाधि से पहले?
जी, बिफोर लास्ट ईयर भी हमारा एक प्रोग्राम था भक्ति समर्पण,
आप उसमें आए थे?
जी, मैं उस पर भी आया था, स्वामी के पास से देखा तो इतना अच्छा लगा क्योंकि अपने भगवान को देखना इट्स पॉसिबल और वो सपने जैसा लग रहा था और उधर मैं रोया भी हूँ। सो
रोना क्यों, खुशी से आ गया?
जी, खुशी के आंसू। सो
आपने गाया था उस बार जब आप आए थे?
उस बार तो चांस नहीं मिला था।
अच्छा,
इसीलिए उधर बहुत थोड़ा बहुत दुख भी हुआ था, तो मैंने आज इस पुट्टपट्टी कुलवंत हॉल में गया तो मुझको एकदम से स्वामी आगे ही बैठे ऐसे मुझको महसूस हुआ।
अच्छा, बहुत ही अच्छा है। So this was in the year 2009 that you had come the last
2010,
and that's when you saw Swami up close and he moved you to tears. The joy of seeing him. You were 10 years old at that time. And it was like action replay yesterday when you sang for him. Okay. आप हमारे श्रोताओं को बताइए, अगर आपके सामने इस वक्त साक्षात्कार भगवान इस कुर्सी पे बैठे होते जो कि हमारे स्टूडियो में है भगवान की, जहां हमें हमेशा उनकी प्रेजेंस फील होती है और वो आपकी ओर देख रहे होते हैं, आप उनके लिए कौन सा भजन गाते? सुना के बताइए।
मैं उनके लिए प्रशांति निलयम गाता क्योंकि वो इतने अच्छे, इतने पीस उन पर इतिहास आते हैं। सिंह प्रशांति निलयम,
गो हैड एंड सिंग इट फॉर हिम, ही इज राइट हियर।
प्रशांति निलय निवास, अर्ज सुनो मेरे साईं, अर्ज सुनो मेरे परम कृपालो, अरज सुनो मेरे परम कृपालो, अरज सुनो मेरे परम कृपालो, परतीश्वर साई देवा, परतीश्वर साई देवा, अर्ज सुनो मेरे परम कृपालु, सत्य सनातन अंतरयामी, सत्य सनातन अंतरयामी, सकल चराचर तुम हो स्वामी, सकल चराचर तुम हो स्वामी, जनन मरण से पार करो, जन्म मरण से पार करो, भव वंदन से उधार करो बाबा, भव वंदन से उधार करो, अर्ज सुनो मेरे परम कृपालु।
थैंक यू, दैट वॉज वेरी ब्यूटिफुल। प्रधान सर, एज द स्टेट प्रेसिडेंट यू हैव क्वाइट अ चाइल्ड प्रोडिजी इन योर केयर, एंड यू नो एज द साई फैमिली वी आर ऑल वन, सो इज दैट अ ह्यूज रिस्पॉन्सिबिलिटी?
ऑफ कोर्स, देयर इज अ रिस्पॉन्सिबिलिटी।
हाउ डू यू सी इट, आपके विचार में ये जो आपके स्टेट में इतना ही टैलेंटेड बच्चा है और जो स्टेट ऑर्गेनाइजेशन है और हम सब एक ही परिवार है, स्वामी का परिवार है, आपका क्या योगदान है इस तरफ?
नहीं, एक्चुअली व्हाट आई वांट टू एक्सप्लोर दिस बॉयज, इसलिए मैंने आई वांटेड टू ब्रिंग हिम हियर, बिकॉज दिस प्रॉपर्टी इज इंटरनेशनल प्लेटफॉर्म,
इट इज।
तो मैंने चाहा कि अगर इनको मैं प्रशांति ले जाऊंगा
जी,
तो जितने भी भक्त आएंगे इंटरनेशनल लेवल में, तो दे विल नो स्टार इन स्मॉल प्लेस, इसलिए हमने इनको चुना है। तो इनके व्हेन आई गॉट द प्रोग्राम, मैंने हम सभी ऑर्गेनाइजेशन को पता है कि इनका जो टैलेंट है इतना टैलेंट है तो बहुत कम ही है तो हम इनको हर मारे प्रोग्राम में इनको तो लाते ही हैं तो मौका देते हैं ऑर्गेनाइजेशन और बाल विकास का स्टूडेंट भी है तो उसके बावजूद हमने सोचा इसका जब प्रोग्राम इतना फ्लॉरिश हुआ वो जब मैंने प्लेटफॉर्म मिला
2010 में इसको बारे नहीं मिली थी इतना टैलेंट होने के बावजूद
भी नहीं मिला जैसे कि अब ये जो वोटिंग प्रोग्राम है ना इससे थोड़ा डिफरेंस आ जाता है क्योंकि अब हमारे यहाँ बहुत कम है और स्टेट का ज्यादा पॉपुलेशन है
जी छोटा स्टेट है कम आबादी कम है
फिर भी मैंने एक इनका फ्रेंड्स ग्रुप दीपराज फ्रेंड्स ग्रुप बना के एक छोटा एनजीओ बना के बहुत कोशिश किया
अच्छा
कि हमारे जितने भक्त और हमने भी सबको बता दिया था कि यू मस्ट वोट लेकिन देयर इज सम डिफरेंस
बिकॉज दैट इज फॉर इंडियाज टैलेंट बिकॉज यू नीड वोटिंग फ्रॉम पीपल टू कॉल इन एंड वोट सो आई गेस द साई ऑर्गेनाइजेशन स्प्रेड द गुड वर्ड अराउंड सो मोर पीपल कुड वोट फॉर दीपराज कंसिडरिंग द फैक्ट दैट सिक्किम हैज अ वेरी स्मॉल पॉपुलेशन
वेरी स्मॉल
आई अंडरस्टैंड
और उनको देखे बाद में मैंने तो एक्चुअली पहले से 2010 में भी हमने एक प्रोग्राम लाया शायद यू हैव सीन इट वो 2010 जुलाई में इट वॉज अ डांस प्रोग्राम इट वॉज अ वेरी मच गुड प्रोग्राम भगवान एकदम झूला झूलते रहे उस प्रोग्राम में भी बहुत अप्रिशिएट किया सभी लोगों ने उस टाइम आए थे उस टाइम लेकिन देयर वॉज नो सिंगिंग प्रोग्राम ओनली हमारा एक ग्रुप सिंग ग्रुप सॉन्ग था उसके बाद डांस और ग्रुप सॉन्ग था और उसके बाद हमने पहले से इस मैंने 2012 के शुरू से मेरा एक इमेजिनेशन था कि मैं दीपराज जैसे कुछ बच्चे लोग बाल विकास के बच्चे लोगों को ले जाऊंगा आई वॉन्टेड टू ब्रिंग हिम देयर अभी समाज के सामने भगवान के सामने भगवान तो है ही इज ओनली प्रेजेंट तो मैंने सोचा था सो बाद में इसका भी मौका मिल गया उधर जाने का उसके बाद वो तो प्लेटफॉर्म भी मिल गया और हमारे यहाँ हम लोग सब ने कोशिश भी किया और जैसे वी कुड ब्रिंग हिम हियर इन इंटरनेशनल प्लेटफॉर्म
एंड प्रशांत नीलियम इज द मोस्ट ग्लोबल प्लेटफॉर्म इन द वर्ल्ड वेयर विल यू फाइंड पीपल फ्रॉम 120 कंट्रीज एंड एवरी स्टेट ऑफ इंडिया बिल्कुल एकदम सही बताया बिंदु जी मैं आपसे पूछना चाहती हूँ आपके बेटे दीपराज की सफलता को देख के तो आपको बहुत ही गर्व महसूस होता होगा
जी
और इसका भविष्य को लेकर आपके क्या सपने हैं
मेरो त अब यही सपना छ कि अब अगाडि गएर नानी चाहिँ सिंगर बनोस् अब यो सपनालाई चाहिँ अब स्वामीले पूरा गर्नुहुन्छ
शी सेइङ द्याट हर ड्रीम इज द्याट लेटर अन मेबी बिकज बिग शी बिकम अ भेरी गुड सिंगर एन्ड शी अल्सो आस्क्ड द्याट स्वामी विल फुलफिल हिज ड्रीम्स एन्ड ही मेक स्वामी मेक इट कम ट्रू
डू यू हैव एनी कन्सर्न्स डू यू वरी अबाउट एनीथिङ विथ रिगार्ड्स टु हिज फ्युचर
हजुरलाई उसको भविष्यले गर्दा कुनै कहिले काहीँ कुनै चिन्ता हुन्छ सोच्छ
हजुर हुन्छ हुन्छ त्यस्तो टेन्सनहरू त पुरै हुन्छ अब हजुर जस्तै अब उसले अब कहीँ गएर अब प्रोग्रामहरू गर्नु छ भने अब मलाई अब उसले बा अब बिगारिहाल्छ कि त्यस्तो डर पनि हुन्छ है
शी फिल द्याट लाइक शी टोल द्याट शी हेज वरी समटाइम्स लाइक वेन ही गोज अन सम कम्पिटिसन्स लाइक दिस इज कन्सर्न्ड फियर द्याट समटाइम ही माइट नट पर्फर्म सो वेल So that is...
So don't you feel that you're putting him under a lot of pressure then? Because, okay, let me just translate for the sake of our listeners. I was talking to Mrs. Bindu Rai, the mother of Dipraj, and I was asking her as a mom, she must be a very proud mom, and she said yes, and I also asked her what were her dreams for the future for Dipraj, and she would like to see him succeed as a singer and to have Swami's blessings. And when I asked her about her concerns and worries about his future, she says she gets a little stressed when he's going on a stage for a big performance. So my question then becomes, don't you feel you're putting him under a little bit of pressure because you're depriving him of the joy of just growing up as a regular 12-year-old boy, having fun, hanging out with friends, studying, learning, just being more carefree?
Ma'am, I asked you, कहिले काहीँ यस्तो लाग्दैन कि हजुरले चाहिँ होइन भाइलाई धेरै प्रेसर लगाएर होइन उसको चाहिँ अब जस्तै हामीहरू हुर्किँदाखेरि हामी खेल्यौँ होइन हामीले केही गरेनौँ नि त
कहिले
किनभने उसको त अहिले फुल ट्रेनिङमा गयो कम्पिटिसनमा गयो होइन कहिले त्यस्तो लाग्दैन कि हजुरलाई कि हजुरले उसलाई धेरै प्रेसर लगाउनु भयो भनेर त्यस्तो
प्रोग्रामको टाइममा त हामी पुरै प्रेसर दिन्छौँ उसलाई रिसाउँछ भने कोही बेला त हो म गर्दिनँ अब मलाई यति बेसी मलाई झन् टेन्सन दिनुभयो भने चाहिँ म गर्दिनँ भन्ने कुरा पनि गर्छ अब कोही कोही बेला चाहिँ है. तर पनि अब हाम्रो अब हुनु चाहिँ खासमा उसलाई चाहिँ सबै याद चाहिँ भइसकेको हुन्छ. तर अब हामीलाई चाहिँ अब टेन्सनले गर्दाखेरि नै अब हामी चाहिँ अब उसलाई पुरै प्रेसर दिन्छ. हामीले गर 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 अब हामीले वाक्कै लगाउँछ उसलाई गर्छ.
She's saying that actually they put pressure, but it's the pressure mainly increases during this competition time.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes like even Deepa still said, I won't do it more.
Mm-hmm.
But thing is, he always knows, but it's that the parents are always that
anxious.
So that's why actually due to the anxiety, the pressure comes in. As whereas he's always cool with it.
So Deepa, you're a cool-headed young man, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay, that's very good to know. And aap nahi ghabrate, aise mummy ko pareshan kar dete main nahi gaunga, magar aapko malum hota hai mujhe gana aata hai. Ha, acche se pata hota hai apna gana. Practice karke confident ho jate ho.
Ji.
Very good. Ab aap usi confidence ke note pe hamare shrotaon ko wo gana sunaiye. I would love for you to sing the song for our listeners which you sang on India's Got Talent, Tu Na Jaane Aas Paas Hai Khuda. Uska thoda sa line sunaiye.
धुंधला जाए जो मंजिले एक पल को तू नजर झुका झुक जाए सर जहां वही मिलता है रब का रास्ता तेरी किस्मत तू बदल दे रख हिम्मत बस चल दे मेरे साथी तेरे कदमों के है निशान तू न जाने आस पास है खुदा तू न जाने आस पास है खुदा तू न जाने आस पास है खुदा तू न जाने आस पास है खुदा
थैंक यू. So the words, Tu Na Jaane Aas Paas Hai Khuda, it means you may not realize, but God is always around you. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I feel.
And?
Yeah, in my every feel, just in competition, versions, jo bhi hota hai, main apne swami ko, apne saamne, ya apne baju pe, isse feel karta hu, kyunki he is everywhere.
Hmm.
He is just living his physical form, but he is everywhere.
Were you born this wise? तब बचपन से ही आपको ये बात मालूम थी इतना इतना ज्ञान लेके पैदा हुए थे आप
just
या मम्मी पापा ने बताया या आपके टीचर्स ने बताया
इन स्कूल टीचर्स इन बाल विकास.
बाल विकास से तो बहुत कुछ आपको मिला और साई स्कूल से ये सुन के तो मैं बहुत ही अच्छा लगा. So dear listeners, the star of Sikkim, Deepraj Rai, is here and now he has one prayer in his heart and that is to ask Swami for admission in his school, right?
Yes.
Grade? Going to grade 8?
Yes.
So do you pray every day?
Yeah, a lot.
Lot, huh? Well, we wish you very well and we hope your dream comes true and you really not only remain a star of Sikkim but also the star of the entire Sai world.
Thank you.
All of us are with you and our best wishes are with you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being on Radio Sai.
Thank you. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. Sai's Glory, His Divine Story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m. Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome back. You just heard that conversation with Master Deepraj Rai. He was a finalist from a TV show called India's Got Talent and he comes from Sikkim and he was speaking about his recent success as a singer and his divine inspiration, Bhagwan Baba. Before we go any further, let's play a qawwali that Deepraj sang in the Sai Kulwanthal recently on December the 28th. Ah, 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 ah
Dear listeners, do send in your feedback to this interview with Deep Raj Rai of Sikkim by email. As always, you can reach us at listener@radiosai.org. Coming up next is a brand new episode of Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories interview. I'm very pleased to play for you a conversation with Brother Srikant, an alumnus of the Sai University and the Satya Sai School, and he's being interviewed by Radio Sai's Mr. Bishu Prushti.
Saram, dear listeners, and welcome to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, our series of conversations on Radio Sai with former students of Baba's schools and colleges. They share the life lessons that they have learnt studying at his lotus feet. And today, in the studios of Radio Sai, we have Srikant Vaidyanathan. He joined the Sri Satya Sai Primary School in 1986 for his 6th standard and went on to do his bachelor's in sciences and master's in physics in Bhagwan's University, Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. In 1998, after he completed his education, he moved on later on to the US, where he did his master's in electrical engineering in the University of California. After that, he's been working in the US and currently he's a technical sales manager in an organization called Comsol Multiphysics in Boston. More importantly, he is the regional devotional coordinator for the Northeast region of USA. And before he had the chance to take up this role, he has assumed various other positions in the Sai organization as a president of many centers and other coordinators. And it's very interesting that today he has this position of regional devotional coordinator, because as a student, Srikant was someone who was blessed with many talents. He was a very good athlete, having won athletic championships from Bhagwan on several occasions. He was also a very good singer, participated in many dramas, gave a number of speeches, trained personally by Bhagwan. So he was a role model of sorts by Bhagwan's blessings. And today the role in the US, wherein he's guiding and he's mentoring Sai devotees as a regional devotional coordinator, is something which really fits in to what Bhagwan has trained him all these years. So with great pleasure, I welcome Srikant to the studios of Radio Sai.
Thank you very much for having me, Sai Ram.
So Srikant, today is the New Year Day, and we have so many alumni from all over the world who are in Prashanthi Nilayam. Yesterday we had the Primary School Alumni Day and you were part of it. So tell me, how does it feel bringing in Prashanthi Nilayam?
I think it's always wonderful, as you might have heard from different people, that everybody comes to their home to recharge their batteries. And Prashanthi Nilayam has truly been a home for me, particularly having spent many years in Swami's institutions here. It's always wonderful to start out the new year with that blessing from Swami by being here personally.
So you joined Bhagwan School in 1986, and 12 years you have spent with Bhagwan. That's really a big time. Plenty of memories, plenty of
reminiscences of the days you have spent with Bhagwan. But probably, I should ask you how this journey to Bhagwan began.
I think Swami was part of our family always, even before my father was married, actually. My grandparents were the ones who came to Swami first. And as you might have heard Swami say many times, an early part of his sojourn on the earth was filled with lots of leelas and mahima. So my grandparents particularly had the opportunity to see many of these at different homes. In fact, at different bhajan centers which they used to attend, where letters used to come out of pictures, or, you know, Amrit used to come out of pictures. So that was a time when they came to Swami, and that was in the early 60s. Mm-hmm. And so our family had the good fortune of knowing Swami and having him as the central figure in our family for a long time.
So by the time you were born, Swami was already the central deity of your family.
That's exactly right. In fact, my father always tells me that my first darshan of Swami was when I was a few months old in Delhi. I think Swami, I was visiting Delhi at that time and had the chance to see Swami, although I was too small to remember having seen him at that time. So going into Balvikas, you know, being part of regular bhajans and the Sai organization activities was always there at our home. That is how my initial journey started. And I still remember my first contact with Swami was when I was about 6 years old. I had the chance to play the character of Lord Krishna in a play. And this was in Abbotsbury in Chennai. And that was the first time, I think. Swami used to still accept garlands at that time, so he actually took his garland and gave it to me and asked me, "What's your name?" I think so. I
saw the garland that he himself was wearing. He took that out and gave it to you.
Correct. So Swami used to accept garlands, yes. And then at the end, after, so he used to take
as
it
as a prasadam, as his prasadam.
Correct.
Wonderful.
Correct. So that was.
This was after your performance. He was pleased with the performance, or before?
Correct. And then by being the youngest in the play, I was like six. You always had a chance to stand, yes, right next to Swami, yes. And then he gave me the garland. So I still remember that moment very vividly.
And we have the picture of Swami smiling so beautifully, responding, and you and Swami are locked in that beautiful picture of where both of you are smiling.
Yeah, that picture, though, is actually from a little bit later.
Okay.
That was, I think I was in my fifth grade at that time, fifth, mm-hmm, standard. And I had the opportunity to actually give the welcome speech on Swami's visit to the Sundaram temple. That is, I think, January 19th, every year Swami used to come. And that year, actually, there's an interesting story with that, because I had prepared like a 9 or 10 minute talk. And as soon as Swami sat in the chair at the center of the hall, I was supposed to get up and start speaking, so which I did. And as I was speaking, when I was in the middle of the talk, suddenly Swami decides that he should get up, and he comes right in front of me and stands and stares into my eyes as I speak. I was pretty scared, so I looked elsewhere because I was afraid that I might stop the talk. But I somehow successfully, Swami's grace, I think I finished the talk, and then I looked at Swami. And immediately he looked at me and smiled and said, "How many days practice?"
Mm-hmm.
So then I said, "Swami, 10 days practice," or something like that. And so he corrected me and said, no, you started on this day and ended on this day, so it's like 11 days practice and things,
wow,
like that. And that is when, after saying a little bit, suddenly Swami switched over to Telugu. And he said something to me in Telugu, which I did not understand. My native tongue is Tamil. And I did not understand what he said in Telugu at all. So that was something which I thought had been lost to me. You know, Swami had communicated and I couldn't even repeat it to somebody so that they could translate it. But many years later, Swami was sitting in the interview room with a couple of groups of devotees, and I happened to be there. And Swami, you know, takes great pride in introducing his students to devotees. So he puts different accolades on you, hoping that you will rise up to the occasion to, you know, be truly what he expects us to be. And then he said so many things, and then he, about me in particular, and then he said, I asked him to come and join my school, and that's how he came and joined my school. Now, this is something I clearly remember Swami did not tell me, because I thought that I had applied, like the regular application, and then I had joined. But then Swami looked at me and he realized there was that doubt in my mind. He looked at me, he smiled and said, "Remember that day you spoke in the Sundaram? Right after you spoke, I said this to you in Telugu," he said.
Oh my God, that was like
13 years later, and Swami was remembering something. That is, I think, truly what Swami is, because in this case, the individual really does not matter. I think Swami's connection has always been personal for everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah. No matter you see him physically in Puttaparthi or you're in a different part of a globe where you have never had a chance to see him, I think he has a way to correspond with each individual appropriately.
Fantastic. And when Swami revealed that, no, you're prepared for 11 days and not for 10 days, you know, I think these are those initial experiences that you are having of Bhagwan. So what kind of an impression it left on you at that time?
I think, like I said, our family always was, you know, devoted to Swami, and we always accepted him as Guru, as a God and everything. So for me, it is always natural to accept what my parents and grandparents have said. But then Swami figures out ways to make these impressions on a child at that point to truly show you that he knows something way beyond, you know, any of us can comprehend at all.
So your kind of love for and faith for Swami, did it kind of see new shades?
Yeah, truly, because they always say, you know, I have heard this saying that, you know, you place a little faith and enjoy a little grace. Place more faith, enjoy more grace. This is a very cyclical process. And without faith, you don't start anywhere at all.
Yes.
I think, like Swami says, invest a little and see the returns. And then you invest more, you get more returns.
So I guess that was the time when Swami put you through that journey of you began to invest.
Correct. Exactly. So
you began to invest, and perhaps after that you became a student and you kept on investing and you kept on reaping the grace. So tell us how you happened to join the school. Okay, so Swami asked you to join, and
yeah, Swami asked me to join, but like I said, I didn't know about it. So my thought process was, actually one day we were in Puttaparthi with my parents, and I had particularly, I remember the elephant slide from the primary school very much. And what happened was, I had told my mother that I want to play on the slide which is inside the primary school. And she said, you need to be Swami's student to even go in there. So I remember that being my clear motivation to even join Swami's school. But anyway, so
that's,
I applied and, you know, went through the process.
But generally, admissions in sixth class is not a common practice.
Correct. Actually, that year, and maybe one more year, was, I think, pretty much it, because they were taking a few students from outside, plus a number of my batchmates had transferred from Ooty school. At that time.
Okay.
So I think few of us joined.
That was a good
school.
Opportunity to get in.
Wonderful opportunity, and I think I'm glad I was there at that time.
Fantastic. So what are your memories of the primary school, being a student, being a tiny tot in Bhagwan school?
Yeah, primary school is always wonderful. Yesterday we reminisced about, you know, first of all, Swami's grace and blessings to the young children, and also the wonderful love which the teachers, you know, give to every child in the school. One memory which comes to mind, and in fact many of the teachers were talking about it yesterday as well, was dance was something which I always loved, and my parents never allowed me to learn dance. That's the Indian classical dance. And they always wanted me to learn music, and of course later in life it became very useful. But dance was something I truly loved. And that particular occasion, I think Swami had decided to come to the primary school, and I was asked to do a dance, and this just came out of the blue, and I was dressed like a lady, and I danced to the famous song, actually, Baje Muraliya Baje.
Yes.
And at the end of the dance, actually, Swami stood and took a picture with me, and I thought, this is so wonderful, because this was the earnest desire in my mind, I think, to do a dance. And of course I never wrote to Swami or anything like that, and that sort of got fulfilled at a time. And of course I did not dance after that again.
Oh, you didn't dance after that, but so the desire was fulfilled.
That's
and it
right.
happened just a year or two of you joining the school.
Correct. This actually happened right after I joined the school.
Yes.
Within a few months. So.
And then you moved on to the higher secondary school.
Correct. Then we moved on to the higher secondary school. And of course, Swami has his ways of, you know, training a student, and I'm sure you know as a student as well.
Yes. I think everyone who's gone through the higher secondary school has very, very moving memories of being in the school. I think there is this environment which is so size suffused. It's the same thing that happens in the primary school also. You have these loving teachers, and the way they groom you is something that you can never forget. And the other aspect is the opportunities that you get as a student. So I remember when I was a student, we used to have these exhibitions every year. And I think it was the same when you were a student too. And perhaps so many dramas that you were part of. So maybe you can share with us a few instances where Swami really motivated you to go up and do something, you know, which you were diffident about, and how it really gave you that confidence.
Maybe since you pointed out to the drama, so I think that is a very interesting thing, because that's something which happened to me right after I joined the higher secondary school. And Swami had, of course, seen me do different plays and things like that in Sundaram and in Madras in general. And right after I joined the school, Swami used to always call me as Harikatha boy, because I think because of that role of Lord Krishna very early in life. And so this particular year, it was my 8th grade, my first year in the high secondary school, Swami had decided for the convocation that year there would be the Chepinnatlu Chestara drama, which he himself had written when he was a boy. It's basically what can you practice all that you preach.
Yes.
So it was my first experience being in a play, you know, so much is written and is, you know, seen with Swami's love, with all these convocation dramas. That was sort of my first convocation drama which I was part of, although being in the high school at that time. And so Swami had wanted me to play the role of Krishna, which is the title character in that particular play. And we had all these wonderful research scholars and, you know, teachers who had played the other roles in the play as the mother and the father and the teacher and things like that of this student who is trying to figure out, can you really practice all that you preach? And here he notices his mother, father and teacher saying one thing and doing an entirely opposite thing. And at the end of the play, obviously, he says, you know, God, you are my only refuge, because these are the closest people when you're young. And if they themselves do not practice what they preach. So the interesting aspect for that drama was, I remember Swami walked into the bhajan hall. I was sitting in some 30th row or something somewhere. And he picked me up like that and said, come in. And the script and everything had already been written at that time. And then Swami said, will you play the role of Krishna? And he said, it's a play I have written myself, and, you know, I will teach you along the way how to play this role. And convocation dramas are excellent time, because Swami used to call morning, evening inside to give instructions on how these different, you know, acts have to be performed. And Swami used to come to the Poonachandra Hall late into the night and, you know, see the play, watch it, correct it. And I think those, I still remember come 21st, a day before the convocation drama, I was more worried about, you know, the play's going to get over and, you know, this interaction with Swami is going to, you know, not continue forever. You know, that is what was more uppermost in my mind. Of course, with Swami's grace, the play went off very well at that year. This was 1988.
That is a common experience for everyone who has been a part of the drama. More than the actual performance, the days preceding the performance, when Swami guides you and the number of interactions that you have with Swami and the lessons that you get from those chances of sessions with Swami, I think that is what is most precious. And I think the dramas, as I see it, they are only a conduit for Swami to drive
exactly
home those lessons.
Exactly. And I think, yeah, that time spent with Swami, I think that is something we cherish the most, I think,
yes,
more than anything else.
And consciously or unconsciously, so many things happen to us.
Sure,
our character.
Sure. No, you're right.
So, tell us about other dramas.
There's one more interesting drama which I think turned out to be a beautiful experience, because that year what had happened was I typically, you know, that students you know, try to be in Swami's presence all the time. So even during vacation, we try to stay back, and, you know, and Swami will say, go home, parents will not send you back here. And that particular year, I decided that I'll go home for a few days and come back. And I went home, and as soon as I had gone home, I got a call from the hostel saying, the warden had called saying, Swami had asked about you. So there was this doubt in my mind whether I should go back immediately or should I just stay for a day. And I remember my mother clearly saying, you know, Swami calls you, you should go right away. There's no second thoughts. And I think that's where it's very important that, you know, the people who surround you, you know, guide you in the right direction. And I came back, and first thing Swami called and he said, this year, this for the convocation, we're going to have a Telugu play as well. So apart from the English play, and I want you to part in the Telugu play. Telugu was not my native tongue at all, and I was surprised that, you know, obviously Swami knows. And Swami said the play is going to be the story of Markandeya, and you'll play the role of Markandeya's mother. Then I looked at what Swami had suggested there, and the person who was playing the role of Markandeya was a Hindi boy, and I think for him it's Telugu is even more alien than for me, you know, being from the neighboring state. So, and then, you know, when Swami gives you a challenge, I think he also makes sure that he will give you the energy and the potential to rise up to that occasion. So not only Swami helped us throughout the process, learning all the Telugu, dialogues for the play and all that, but he also said, you know, at the end of the play, I mean, on the day of the play, I will come and tie the sari for you because you're playing the ladies' role. So,
wow.
So you put the effort, and I think Swami sort of rewards you at the end of it as well with his, you know, assurance. And as he said, he came that day right after the convocation was done. This was in Shanti Vedika in the Hillview Stadium. And then he came behind to help me tie the saris. And one funny thing I remember there was Swami mentioned your husband is a sannyasi. You're not a sannyasi, so you should wear more jewels. And then, I put on more jewels and everything. And then the play started. And I think this is the key part of the whole experience was the play started and Swami was sitting with Dr. Shankardayal Sharma, who was the president of India at that time. And as soon as the first act got over, where the husband and wife don't have children for a long time, so they pray to God saying, we want a child. And as soon as the first act was over, the first scene, the warden of the hostel came running behind and told me that Swami is saying that your trousers can be slightly seen from below the sari. And
oh,
he wants
God.
You to adjust the, you know, your clothes properly. And I was just wondering, Swami is, you know, sitting with the president of India there discussing things of very, very important nature. But nothing skips his eye. And I think that has truly been Swami for me throughout. Because his eye for perfection, and I think verily this is a quality which he embodied all through, no matter the size of the project. A simple thing, you know, right from he used to wonder how the amount of salt in an idli or, you know, something like that, to building these massive projects of his. I think Swami's eye for perfection was something which we could always learn from.
As you had these sessions with Swami, I think you always were witness to this revealing facets of his divine personality. I think every time you had a session with Swami, you would always, even though it could be a casual conversation, but I think every time there were so many lessons. And now when you look at it, in hindsight, you'd see how Bhagavan has all the time, in 86 years, he was only training us. Everything that he did was only to show us how we should lead our lives. And that is really wonderful. So tell us more about your school days. You had the chance to talk also, I guess, during your student days.
Yeah, that was something I think Swami wanted me to do. And I was like, I wanted to do it as well. I mean, if Swami wants you to rise up to the occasion, then you need to rise up to the occasion. Interesting thing was Swami used to tell me that you can sing as well, right? You sing songs. So when you speak, you should sing, because those who are sleeping will wake up, typically. I mean, there are two facets to the speaking. Swami used to give some notice in terms of time. He used to say, you know, take 7-8 days, prepare, be ready. On this particular occasion, you're going to speak Ganesh Chaturthi Day or Guru Purnima Day or something like that. And at the same time, you know, you prepare for all this and, you know, you want to do a good job. You're representing the school, you're representing Swami. And I think you prepare all that all along with the thought in mind that you're just doing what Swami wants you to do. And I think most people are there to see Swami, listen to his discourse. The talk is immaterial, actually. But at the same time, if Swami has asked you to do it, you do it to the best of your ability and he takes care of the rest. So, and I noticed that Swami initially used to give a lot of time in terms of preparation. It used to be 8 days, 10 days, and then slowly it became 3 days and 2 days. And it used to be like, get up and speak. So Swami's expectation of students has always been like that. Be prepared always. I think opportunities when they come, you know, Swami says, get up, chant something, or, you know, get up, speak. That opportunity may come only once. And we as students always strove for, you know, getting up and being ready for that occasion. I think that was something which is very critical. From speaking days in particular, I remember one story which is very dear to my heart and very, very personal, but I think it is something which you can learn more about Swami than anything else. I think that is the key. So during Dashara days, Swami used to have students speak during every day. Two students used to speak and, you know, different learned pandits used to speak. And of course, Swami used to give his discourse during the Dashara days. So one particular time he had picked about 15 of us, and I was lucky that I was the only one who used to speak and sing at the time during my talks, and that sort of allowed me to sit with Swami more personally, because he used to pick the particular songs that could be sung. And particular time, Swami had picked all the songs, and then he said, what song would you like to start your talk with? And I was suggesting a few songs, and Swami said, you think about it, I'll think about it, and then I'll give you a song. That's Swami's delusion, or, you know, the Maya which engulfs as well when you sit too close. The next day, bhajans were going on, and then Swami suddenly, I was sitting in the bhajan hall, closing my eyes, and then somebody patted me from the back, and I looked behind, and Swami was standing there.
Wow.
And he looked at me and said, this bhajan which is going on is a very beautiful bhajan. Why don't you start your talk with this bhajan? And this was the popular bhajan, Jayama, Jayama. So, anyway, the speech was all set. It happened that on the third day, I was supposed to speak. Swami came to me the previous day and said, you speak on the ninth day, on the Ayudha Puja day. There will be more crowd. These are ways in which you think you are the doer, but you know, Swami has his ways of doing things so that valuable lessons are learned out of that. As you know, it was destined, I guess, I ended up with a very high fever on the eighth day.
Mm-hmm.
So right after Swami had given his evening discourse that day, I stood up and I told Swami that I'm not doing too well. Even at that time, Swami didn't say you didn't have to speak. It could have been so simple, somebody else could have spoken. Swami said, I'll send the doctor to the hostel, don't worry.
Oh my God.
So he sent the doctor to the hostel, and the doctor, of course, gave me some medication and things like that. And I was feeling much better next day, but not fully okay still. And then Swami had a car sent to the hostel.
Car sent to the hostel.
Yeah, and went to the mandir, and Swami was already, at the time he was still staying in the mandir, so he was in the Purnachandra hall. So he opened the door, and then, you know, he told me to sit down, he got me some water to drink and all that, and he said, don't worry, you speak first, and then you take rest afterwards. So I went and I spoke. This was in the Purnachandra hall. So after I spoke, Swami asked, he blessed me and gave me water to drink on the stage and all that, I remember. Because the level to which Swami goes to show his love and compassion, I think that's extremely key. And as students, we particularly get to witness that all the time, I think. That is the most valuable lesson. And I think it's the most beautiful part of who Swami was, I think.
Yes.
And anyway, Swami then after that asked the next person before he spoke to tell everybody that I was not doing well, but Swami wanted me to speak, so I spoke. So after doing all the work in terms of preparing the talk, going out all the way, sending the doctor, sending the car, you know, giving me water to drink, at the end of all that, Swami still gives the credit to the person. And I think that is what Swami was always. I think he was truly, he stood for something selfless. And I think we have all these divine qualities and divine, he's God, we say these different things, but Swami lived and showed these things. And even if we try to achieve 1/100th of what Swami was, and maybe 1,000th of what Swami was, I think our lives will be sanctified.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, as you mentioned, the very fact that Swami took a human form is to show us how we should lead our lives. And if you see, as you mentioned, you look at every act of Bhagwan, and it is all the time he was telling us how we should react in a particular situation. And selflessness is something, sacrifice is something which just was there all the time with Bhagwan. And as students, yes, that group of devotees, the students always have the opportunity to witness this from very close quarters. And wonderful that you are part of the school. Yes.
So particularly that one thing I wanted to connect the two is Swami's strove for perfection in everything, and at the same time his detachment was also instant. And I think those are qualities which Swami always embodied, and maybe those are lessons for us to strive for.
Yes. Yes, detachment and selflessness. Fantastic. So let's move on to your days in the college. What are your memories? Because you were involved with so many extracurricular activities in the college, from sports to singing to dramatics here too. So tell us some of those life lessons that are evergreen in your memory.
I think college was very interesting. So after I finished school here, went to Whitefield. And those were years, actually, Swami spent a lot of time in Vrindavan. There was some construction going on and all that. And so Swami was there almost throughout the year. And thrice sessions is something I'm sure different students reminisce about. I think it's something where you sit with Swami and get so much of his personal time. And I think that is the key, where you learn so much from him. College was something where I think it emphasizes integral education. Swami had always emphasized integral education. So he wanted us to do extremely well in sports and do, you know, Veda chanting, or, you know, stand up and speak whenever required, do extremely well in academics, sports, and otherwise, you know, bhajan singing. And that is something the university education system here sort of emphasizes on students. If you think back, you wonder how you juggle time with all these things, because our time was also pretty set. It started at 5 in the morning and it ended at 10 in the night, no matter you're in school or if you're in the institute. And in that limited time, Swami made sure, I guess, we strove to do our best in all these different facets.
He learned to sort of optimize the time, I guess.
Correct. We always gave our best. It is always because of Swami's grace that everything turned out perfect at the end, because we only can give our best effort. I think beyond that is something which is interesting. Maybe one aspect which I can emphasize from the college side was, I think bhajan singing was something.
Oh yeah, you have been singing bhajans for so many years.
Yeah,
and being a part of the bhajan group is such a great privilege for so many years.
Right. I think bhajan singing is, it's a beautiful privilege to sing in Swami's presence, at the same time remembering that it's service more than anything else. If you have been given an opportunity to sit up there and lead a bhajan, I think you need to also make sure, Swami used to always say, make sure everybody can follow the bhajans you sing. I think that's extremely key, because I remember this particular story. Actually, it's a little bit hilarious, but there is also a lesson with this story. In Vrindavan, when we used to sing bhajans, I think one particular day Swami had mentioned, make sure you sing all the different gods' names. You know, there are different people sitting. Not everybody gets a chance to lead. So the lead singers, if they keep in mind that they sing all the different god forms, whosoever Ishtadevata, you know, the chosen god it is, they'll be happy that, if it's Allah or Yeshu or anybody else, it's their name is sung. So one particular time Swami had was, giving this lessons, and then Swami had just remarked, saying that, you know, don't keep singing Sai, Sai, Sai all the time. Make sure you sing other gods as well. And, sometimes we understand these things to an extreme. The next day we sang bhajans all the way without the word Sai in them.
Oh my God.
And that was such a bad thing to do. Anyway, we did that, and at the end of the bhajan session, Swami had called us in Tadthrayi, and then he called me in the front and said, what bhajan did you sing? And I had sung this bhajan, Jaya Jaya Rama. There's no Sai in the bhajan at all, except in the last line, where it is Prema Sagara Sai Rama. It's Sai, you are the ocean of love.
Mm-hmm.
And I sang it as Prema Sagara Sri Raghu Rama.
Oh my God.
So Swami asked me, how did you sing outside? Because there in front of him, I sang the correct way. And then immediately Swami smiled and said, all those people there, did they come for you or they came for me?
Yeah. Wow.
It's a very interesting...
They come for you or they come for me.
Yeah, so you choose to sing whatever you want. Versus, they have come to experience Swami's love. It's not that Swami's asking to sing his name. His point is, whenever an instruction is given...
should know to take it in the right spirit.
And moderation is also the key, because very often we take one extreme or the other extreme. I think we should think from a global perspective, or a perspective of everybody who's present there, and take an approach. So Swami's lessons have always been like that. I think very often if there is a mistake, it's only in our understanding.
Absolutely. So tell us more about this bhajan singing days in Prashantanilayam.
I think bhajan singing is something I'm sure, students who have shared before me as well will say that it is something which is, in Puttaparthi, I feel it's so automatic, because Swami sits there, he keeps the beat, and everything runs to his tune. The tabla person looks at Swami, the harmonium person looks at Swami, the singer looks at Swami, everybody keeps beat to Swami's hand, and that's extremely beautiful, because he's pretty much like the orchestrator of the whole thing there.
And you sit so close in the bhajan hall.
Correct. which is a blessing in the end, but it's also a position of, it's beautiful reverence in the sense, if you think about it, your chosen God, he's sitting there and you're sitting at his feet and singing a song. Swami used to always say, open your eyes and sing, I'm sitting here for you. And then very often we close our eyes more because we want to do a good job, I think.
Yes.
So we want to focus on the song and things like that. I think it's beautiful orchestration, and I think if we can always, wherever we are in our Sai centers or anywhere else, just think that Swami is the one who's sitting on the chair and orchestrating the whole thing. I think nothing else really matters. The rendering will automatically come out okay, and everybody is happy, not because the song is sung in a very melodious fashion. Everybody is able to join and experience the spiritual bliss which comes out of the whole bhajan, which is the purpose of bhajan.
Yes,
in the end.
Absolutely. And you were also involved in athletics and sports hugely, having won athletic championship cups many times from Bhagwan's hands. So any moments from that visit, that of Bhagwan's University?
Yeah, I mean, that was something I think I took it up very personally, that I should, you know, strive to do well in different facets, which, you know, Swami obviously wants us to do well. And sports was something I really loved and wanted to do a lot. Maybe I should relate this humorous story. It's not humorous. I think it's more, again, a teaching from Swami in terms of how we should do things. So one particular sports meet time, I had been sort of missing the bhajan sessions every day in the evening because of different practices and different events going on in the field. And as you know, we all had sort of spots where we used to sit in the bhajan hall, and if our spot was empty, obviously it was very noticeable with Swami particularly sitting there. And so on the 10th day, I think, right after the sports meet, I think the Shankranti festival was there, and the evening was the prize distribution function. On that day morning, there was a music program. I had the opportunity to sing a song before Swami. And after I finished the program, Swami was giving Pad Namaskar to all the music boys. And when my turn came, Swami looked at me and said, "The song was very good, but where have you been all the, 10 days? You have not come for bhajans." And immediately I said, "Swami, I've been busy with the sports activities and things like that, and I'm going to get the medal or championship from you in the evening," type of thing. I thought Swami will be very pleased. Immediately Swami looked at me and said, "That's all wonderful, but there is time and place for everything. If you've been given a role to lead bhajans, then it's your duty to be there at the appointed time. So you need to sort of learn to balance everything." I think that is the message again which Swami was giving. The sense that learn to balance, when you need to do sports, you need to do sports. When you need to study, you need to study. When you need to be singing bhajans, you need to do that. So balance your life in such a way that, you still can do everything to the best of your abilities, but at the same time not neglecting one for the other. And that was a beautiful message I learned from Swami. So from the next sports meet onwards, I was very, very careful that, I'm there for what I'm supposed to be doing. And then, sort of balance everything around that.
So plenty of lessons. I think every moment that you spend with Bhagwan, there are the lessons coming. Sometimes you get it directly. Sometimes we ruminate over it.
Correct.
And then they dawn upon us. The wisdom dawns upon us. So are there any moments where you had this chance of being inside the interview room where Swami kind of reveals something, because as students you have the chance to at times be inside the interview room, and there are moments when sometimes you get startled with who's the person you're actually dealing with. Because many times when Swami is on the human level, we tend to forget his divinity, but off and on he would just do something and you are awakened to who he really is. So were there any moments of that sort in your life?
Yeah, there was one particular incident which I can still remember very, very vividly. And this was, I think, when I was still in high school. One particular day, actually, Swami had called two groups of devotees inside the interview room, and I was sitting in the bhajan hall. He just beckoned me to come in. I went in, and Swami closed the door. Both these groups were sitting on either sides of Swami's chair, and I was sitting closer to the door and, observing what Swami had me there for. And Swami sat on the chair and started speaking in Italian for some time.
Italian?
Yeah, it was in Italian, and I was sort of listening to this. Thinking back, actually, I always had this question in my mind that, there are different European devotees particularly who don't speak English and who don't speak any of the Indian languages. How does Swami communicate with them? Very often they go in, they come out crying, they come out so happy. There are people who go in on wheelchairs, come out walking. All these things we have observed over our time of being students here. But it used to always, I used to wonder how this communication was happening. There was no translator there inside. And I never wrote to anybody. I never wrote to Swami. Neither I even actually sort of mentioned it to anybody at all. And Swami, I guess, had me there just for this particular, moment of revealing something. Spoke in Italian, turned around, spoke to the other group in a different language, picked up few words and translated it in German, Latin. I still remember this very clearly. And he said, then, after all this, Swami was sort of translating it in English for the others who don't understand the language he was speaking.
Oh, my God.
And then it was done. And then he looked at me and said, "Now, do you believe?" And then immediately Swami said, "I am the mother of all languages."
I am the mother of all languages.
Yeah. So Swami knows so much, or he is the Lord of everything, but he always chooses to show only little aspects here and there, when his divinity is revealed. Very often I wonder, we know so little and we try to show as if we know so much. that is the humility associated with divinity, I think. That's a very, very valuable lesson. That was something which has, I mean, memories with Swami always stay with you. And I think it stays inside you. You just have to tune in and relive those moments.
Fantastic. So after having spent 12 years in Bhagwan institutions, how was it when you had to step out of the portals of the university in 1998?
It was very difficult. And I remember Swami particularly one time had told me that, in fact, he had told a group of devotees, this boy has spent more time with me than with his parents. And that was actually very true in terms of the number of days. If you count, it was exactly that. And that was the first time. But I always knew that, you know, after you graduate and go, Swami is always there with you. And he always says, I've given you all these lessons, I've given you all these beautiful memories, and those can never be taken away. It's inside you. Tune in and Swami is always with you. In fact, going to the United States, I remember attending Sai Center in the Sacramento area in California. The first week I was there. And I think Swami's presence has permeated the whole world. No matter, there are many devotees who have never even come to Swami physically. Swami's messages travel the entire globe, and I think it's only through transformation. I think Swami is, you inspire each other with his love, and I think a lot of people get his message and get transformed. So I think the blending in there was so easy because the Sai organization and the Sai families were so wonderful. And one word, which we very often we say, Sai Ram connects, it's way beyond family. That is something which is sufficient. And I think there's a beautiful bhajan which says in different languages, you just say Sai Ram and, you know, you connect with anybody. So that way, for the last 13 years that I've spent in the United States, I think Sai centers and Sai families have always been anchors for us wherever we are.
Fantastic. And now you have taken over as the regional devotional coordinator for the Northeast region of USA. For how many years have you been doing this role?
That's an opportunity I think Swami gave, and I think that came about 2 years back.
Okay.
So it's a very interesting way. I think, like you mentioned earlier, I think Swami trains you so that hopefully all that you've learned from him, you're able to share with everybody else. And I think that is our only purpose. Roles and positions are, I think, a way for us to sort of look inside, rethink all the different things that we have learned, and hopefully share it with others in ways that they also can learn what Swami really expected from all of us. And as students, I think having had the privilege of being in his physical proximity for so long, this is a wonderful opportunity where we can share all those things with devotees.
Wonderful. I want to ask you something else, slightly different. You know, when you are here in Bhagwan's University, the motto of our university is Satyam Vada Dharmam Chara. Speak the truth, practice righteousness. And many people feel that this is easier said than done once you're in the outside world. I want to ask you, how have you felt in your professional life practicing these values? Has it been really very challenging?
To be very honest, no, actually, because very often I've heard that it's very difficult, and of course life puts you through situations which are very tough, and you need to think in a moment, and you know, figure out a way to react to situations. But I think the inbuilt training, particularly all the way when you you know, have been with Swami and his institutions, I think the first direction you react to is typically the side of Satyam Vada or Dharmam Chara. Typically that's the first thing which sort of dwells in you before you know, act in a way which is contrary to that. So I think it's not difficult. I think as long as you stick to your principles, I think that's sort of the key. And also Swami has at the same time given you the Satyam Bruyat, Priyam Bruyat, Na Bruyat, Satyam Apriyam. So I think
speak the truth. And don't speak unpleasant truth.
Correct. Same time, you know, also Swami says, speak obligingly, right?
Yes. You may not always oblige, but you can speak obligingly.
So that is, those are traits which we have always learned from him. And, you know, in ways that we have always seen Swami explain difficult situations to people in a way which is very pleasing, that the person immediately changes his viewpoint on things. So I think those are all lessons which I'm not saying that we are always right. We make mistakes. But again, if you tune back to look at what Swami has given us over a period of time, I think it is fairly simple that the lessons are always there. And I think you figure out ways to
sort of deal with them in a simple way, I think, rather than complicated situations.
See, you do find yourself in a much better capacity to deal with life situations and the situations in your, be it in your personal life or in the professional life. What do you see are those traits which make you slightly more prepared to deal with situations in life?
I think being in an environment which is spiritual and being in an environment which is always where the right thing needs to be done. And that's an environment we have lived and breathed over so many years. And I think that truly prepares you for life ahead. And I think Sai centers are another tuning places where you go to, where you see like-minded people, like-minded thoughts are expressed. And, you know, Swami always gives the example of a pot of water. And he says, you know, fill it, but go and put it in another pot of water so that the evaporation rate is much slower.
Slower, yeah.
So that's where these Sai centers have become sort of our anchor points where we, at the end of each week, we have a chance to reflect on what went right, what went wrong, so that we can progressively become better. Nobody is perfect right at the start, I think. But at the same time, we should not lose heart when we make mistakes. I think we learn from them, we move on, and try our best not to repeat those mistakes again.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Srikanth, for coming to the studios of Radio Sai. And I hope the next time you are here, we'll talk more about your days with Swami, because I know today we have probably touched only very few aspects because you spent 12 years with Bhagwan. So do come to the studio when you are here in Prashantaram next. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Sairam.
Sairam.
Sairam, dear listeners, I hope you enjoyed that fleeting moments interview with Mr. Srikanth Vaidyanathan. We look forward to your feedback at listener@radiosai.org, and please don't forget that tomorrow is the big day for thousands of Sai students participating in the annual sports and cultural meet here at the Sri Satya Sai Hillview Stadium. You too can participate in this celebration. Just log on to radiosai.org and you can watch the events in real time as they are happening through web streaming. If your internet connection is slow, you can enjoy listening to the commentary of the program by choosing Asia Stream. Right here, where you're enjoying Morning Glory at this very moment, at Radio Sai, we feel blessed to serve the Sai in you by offering you this digital connect to Prashanthi Nilayam, the most happening place in the world. And now, it's time for audio engineer Yatharta and I to offer Morning Glory at Bhagwan's lotus feet and bid you Sai Ram. Till we meet next Thursday, please be well. Keep longing for God and stay inspired. Sai Ram.